episode 163 of Hot Ape Summer. We changed the name officially. You probably saw it in your podcatcher feeds. We changed the podcast name to Hot Ape Summer. Open paren, formerly Bat and Spider, close parentheses. That's what we do here on Tape Deck now. Tape Deck Podcasts. I can't concentrate. Chuck is miming me. Mimery.
Does it feel like your TV set, like the audio sync is off when you see that? You see me trying to guess what words you're about to say? A little past, a little fun. I'm having a little fun
game. It's a game. It's fun. This is it, folks. This is the kickoff to Hot Ape Summer. The summer where we watch ape movies that are not Planet of the Apes movies, but they're ape movies nonetheless. Whether they be killer apes, thriller apes, naked apes.
Yeah, are there?
I gotta stop making up names for them because there's only four movies in this in Hot Ape Summer.
I know. God, I wish Hot Ape Summer was. I wish there was a month out of the year that was like 8 weeks long. So we could really sink our teeth into Hot Ape Summer.
Yep. You nailed it, dude. You absolutely nailed it. This week, in 1986, a movie came out starring Elizabeth Shue called Link. Friend of the show, Grugrux Dave. Now, as an aside, Grugrux Dave is running, what's it called? I hate when I have to pause my own self because I hate editing the show.
He hates it.
But I'm looking it up.
We can run it back. We can start over.
No, we can't. Nope, we cannot. This week on the show, we watch, I already said that part, Link from 1986. Friend of the show, Grugrux Dave. I'm going to get into his review first. Is it the music, the flyovers, the ebb and flow of pacing, the British accents, the cars? There are flashes and sparks of drama here, and it's not the worst acting, but there seems to be a missing link somewhere in this to feel fully cohesive. Now, Grugrux Dave has taken upon himself to set up watch-alongs in the Bat and Spider Discord drive-in. He called it. He named it that, and we're keeping that, but all credit goes to Dave for that.
Say it again. Isn't that a cool name? Say the title again.
Bat and Spider's Discord Drive-In. Isn't that great?
That's good. Good job, Dave. Bless Dave, you know. I don't know if he's regretting this, setting up this charade, but bless him, you know. And I know he's going to follow through with it, because that's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah. It's really a nice thing to do. It's something that Chuck and I were just discussing beforehand. It means a lot. It means a lot to us. Let me not get mushy because we're all about friends and friendship and blood and guts and hot apes.
Yeah. We're rubbing each other's guts all over our cheeks. That's what we do here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right, man. It's disgusting.
Yeah. It's intimacy.
That's what disgusting.
It's disgusting. Yeah. We grew up. We're men from the East Coast.
Yeah.
Not comfortable with our feelings.
I'd rather ride up to the store on my bike and chug a 20-ounce Coca-Cola in the hot sun.
Yeah.
And think I was living. That's intimacy.
Yeah. When I went to finishing school, they had to force me to learn how to hug a person. Never hugged anyone before.
What?
Forced hugging. And now I can do it. But if you look close, like if you look at pictures of me hugging people, you'll notice a little trickle of tears coming out of my eyes. And that's not
right
emotion. Yeah. That's pain.
Oh man, I'm sorry that you even have to form your arms in such a way.
Yeah.
But your posture.
God, I wish my posture.
You are constantly walking like you have a book on your head.
I got to admit, I have not been following our new posture rules on in the office.
Yeah.
Not good.
Yeah, no. I've noticed.
And I've been out of town, so I've been sleeping on different beds. And my back is wondering what's going on. Strangely enough though, it wasn't enjoying the bed I was on while I was away. But it feels a little better being back home. I don't think it's going to last long. We'll see.
Hey,
I don't know what to do.
You'll take it.
I watched two men fight this weekend over which was better, chiropractor or physical therapist for each other's back pains. And
oh my gosh.
And I felt caught in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know how to address my own pain. I don't know.
Right. I mean, I would just lock up and not call either one now because it caused a fight.
Oh God. I've been there for 6 years locked up. I'm right there.
You know?
And if I was about to work out of it, they just put me right back in my box.
Yeah. Right.
Where I belong.
Right. I mean, you might've made a decision in the next couple of days.
It felt like it was coming to a head. Like the pain. I was like, I got to deal with this. I got to deal with it. That's what I was telling myself. Dale, I've been watching a lot of Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
You did allude to this.
Yeah.
And via text message, yeah.
And I picked it because, so there was Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and then later they had the Alfred Hitchcock Hour. Oh. And I was like, man, an hour's a long time. Maybe I'll go to this early thing because they're only like 25-minute episodes. It's like sweet spot city. And Dale, these things, high quality stories were being pumped out at the Hitchcock factory.
Yeah.
Holy moly. These are, it's like, I don't know. They feel like I pick up a random, like a paperback novel from like the 50s or 60s of like just something, you know, something about some cruddy people, you know, and I just live in that for a half an hour, and it's fantastic. It's really good.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah. It makes me if we start another weekly show, these would be amazing. I feel like, cause they're all over the place. They, you know, they're like,
wow.
Some of them are scary. Some of them are just like murder mysteries, you know?
Oh man.
And the people they got in here, you know, like young Charles Bronson.
What?
Like every episode you recognize. Oh, they got fucking, who was the first Darren from Bewitched was in an episode. He was incredible.
Really?
Yeah. It was this episode about, he was like a salesman in the future. And his whole thing was like, there's too many old people. And society's bearing the brunt of old people. And he would go to like middle-aged men's homes and do the sales pitch and basically sweet talk his way into letting or having this person have the salesman kill their mother-in-law, usually, who's living in their house, to stop that annoyance in his client's life, but also to cut the group this salesman worked for was like, that was their mission. They didn't care about money or anything. They just wanted to kill old people to lower the old people population. Because it was made in the 60s. This came out and they were like, oh, it's in the future. Medical science is going to be too good. We're going to have all these old people live until like they're 120. It's going to be a huge mess and society won't be able to bear the weight of all these old people sitting around. It's very interesting. Anyway, the guy from Bewitched was incredible in it. Incredible. Highly recommend
that.
That's
amazing. Episode.
Yeah.
Wow. Dang, dude.
Yeah.
I'm loving that.
Yeah,
I'm loving it.
Top that. What do you got? We never talked about Marcy Playground. Now, I know that's weeks and weeks ago now. God.
I just saw you rip that post-it note off the side of your monitor. Are you happy that you cleared one off? Are you happy you cleared a post-it off the side of your monitor now that you can dig into me?
Crumpling it up and throwing it at the little mini basketball hoop above my trash can.
Yeah, right.
Feels good.
So we got a couple minutes. Couple weeks ago, I probably the one thing that started our influx of not being able to record at all for what felt like forever. My neighbor texted me out of the blue. It was like 7 a.m. because he had to start scrambling.
Wow, 7 a.m.
He's like, hey, I got an extra... He's like, hey, I got an extra ticket. I bought tickets to go see Marcy Playground tonight. Mm-hmm. And you want to go? It's like, yeah, I'll go. You know, I'm not going to pretend like I didn't own the first album.
Oh,
and
okay.
Sex and Candy was in my rotation. Right. You know? So I told him, yeah. I says, what do I owe you? And he says, no, it's a wash. I'll eat the price of the ticket. You drive. So then
Excuse me.
Yeah, you drive.
What was that about? Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Why are you trying to start trouble?
No, I just wondered. Yeah. What I thought he was like, you drive.
Like he was going to drink so heavily at Marcy Playground that he was going to need a ride home.
Like nobody wants to go to the show with me because I'm going to get so drunk that they're going to have to peel me off the bleachers. I'll ask my neighbor who doesn't know me very well. Give me a ride.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's where I went.
And
storyteller.
That's the definition of art. Chuck. Yeah, so I said, yeah, you know, so all day I'm like, I got to get in the zone. I'm Googling. I'm like, wow, Marcy Playground.
Yeah.
Everybody. So I do some quick Googling. I found out where they are. And I find out that it's not just Marcy Playground, Chuck.
No.
Marcy Playground is opening for Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Mm. Wow. Now, what did you...
He wasn't even going to tell me that part.
That's crazy. This guy is such a Marcy Playground fan that...
Yeah.
It could have been Paul McCartney, the other person playing. He's like, nope. Sex and Candy mm-hmm. for me. Former Beatle, eat it.
Cherry Frazier, another one. So I text him. I was like, oh, yeah, I see, I see they're opening for, I was like, there's got to be a,
what's going on
here? The deeper story? I was like, oh, yeah, I see they're opening for Toad the Wet Sprocket. And I was like, wow, yeah, like wow, those guys are around. And he's like, yeah, I got the tickets, but if you want to leave after Marcy Playground, we can leave. I don't have a problem with that. So, but I said, you know, we're going to a concert. Like,
yeah.
Do you mind if we stay for Toad the Wet Sprocket? I mean, we're there anyway.
Exactly.
He's like, he was fine with staying.
Good.
With Toad the Wet Sprocket. And we went to this great theater in Durham. It was a great place. And yeah, so Marcy Playground opened and they were fantastic. Like, they're just three dudes, man.
There's only
like
three of them.
You see people, three guys. Whoa. There's three guys. Drummer, bassist, and guitar vocal guy. And I used to listen to these dudes when I was a teenager, listening to their album. Like, it was surreal, probably because I speak about a concert like it's a totally new concept and they haven't been around for time immemorial.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm going and I'm like having this philosophical thing about Marcy. I'm staring at Marcy Playground, who are 30 years older than, you know, the last time I listened to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like I'm having this existential thing happening. But it was great. Marcy Playground was great.
Good.
And they even like they played some songs that I had forgotten existed that were on that first album.
Nice.
I mean, they were playing songs from all their albums.
Yeah.
And one of their albums, Chuck.
Yeah.
One of their albums. I only have heard the first album.
Sure.
Their third album, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
Marcy Playground 3. The name of the album.
Yeah.
MP3. And I just.
Oh.
MP3. Okay. I had to shake my head. Yeah, I was like, oh boy, that is.
Let's sweep past that.
That is a slice in time right there. But my neighbor was having a blast. He told me the other times he got to go see them.
Wow.
What a time that was.
Can you call him up? I want to dig in a little more.
I call him up. Yeah.
No, don't call him up. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
But
I'll call
this
him up
guy loves Marcy Playground. Like, have you seen the posters in his garage?
He loves
garage?
Marcy Playground.
He loves him. Just loves him.
Just loves him.
End all be all.
He loves him.
It's great.
I mean, he's followed, he says he's followed them throughout the years. You know, he's not like super, like he genuinely loves Marcy Playground and tries to catch him when they're in town.
That's awesome.
He's not like devotee. I don't know if he like knows their names or whatever, but.
Did he just shut down when Toad the Wet Sprocket came out? You just go spend 45 minutes
glad you
in the
asked.
Bathroom?
I'm glad you asked because honestly, I kind of shut down too.
Oh no. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, was this you or was this them? Were they off night for Toad? Maybe?
I don't think it was an off night, to be truthful. I think they've just, you know, the lead singer has the voice, right? He's got that voice.
Yeah.
And he, when they're setting up, the roadies are like out there, like setting up all the instruments and the, like in front of the microphone, there's like this Persian rug. They lay out this Persian rug. And the Toad the Wet Sprocket dude, Glenn Holdings or somebody, his name is Glenn something.
Glenn Holdings.
He comes out in a, you know, t-shirt and jeans and bare feet.
Ugh.
And immediately I'm just like, I'm kind of put off by like what we're about to experience.
Yeah. This is like watching Matt Riddle wrestle, Monday Night Raw every night, every week. I cannot
This is how you analog the story to something you can understand.
I cannot stand the gall of this guy to go out and wrestle people with his bare, sweaty feet, putting them on each other, on the other guys, the other wrestler's face. You know it's going to happen. It's a wrestling match.
Yeah, right.
It's just, right. It's rude. All right.
It's all, yeah, and that's very much like what it felt like watching Toad the Wet Sprocket perform in bare feet.
Yeah, we're not in your living room, Toad.
Right. Yes, exactly. It's like an evening with Toad the Wet Sprocket and he's getting as comfortable as, and even, dude.
Yeah.
I was there. I was during the concert. I looked at the Wikipedia page and like the, one of the last sentences is Glenn Holdings frequently plays bare feet.
God damn it.
Like it's so important to this guy that it's got to be in the Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Imagine that Wikipedia editor the day Mr. Holdings stops wearing, starts putting footwear on stage and he has to edit that.
He's
I'm an idiot. Mr. Holdings making me look a fool.
Right. I use the word frequently a little too fast.
Yeah. All I want is to feel this way. Sorry. I was looking at the names of their songs because I couldn't remember them, but they're all flooding back.
I was like, wow. Okay. I was kind of like, okay, beholden to these folks that through the early 90s through the mid 2000s, they've had hits come back around. Like they've always kind of been around, starting with, you know, it's super into soundtracks back in the day.
Yeah.
There was a song on there that they did on the Friends soundtrack, like the Friends TV show soundtrack, music inspired by the stupid TV show I owned. But Chuck,
yeah,
when I tell you everybody in this audience was there to see Toad the Wet Sprocket, except us two.
Really?
Like the number of date nights and friend groups that were just like, they were feeling something that I just was not sharing. I mean, because they were on cloud nine that they got to see Toad the Wet Sprocket for the umpteenth time. Like I can't even put into words. Like there was a couple in front of me just like making out like this is, this was just like there. Like they were so bonded.
Wow.
To Toad the Wet Sprocket. It just made me kind of like turn off a little bit. I hate to say that because good for Toad the Wet Sprocket. They're doing it and they They got a fan base and they're doing theaters and it's amazing. But man, I just was not in the same headspace as all these people in this theater.
They're like, I don't
jump back.
I can't even like, I don't know. They're a weird band. I can't even like picture the type of person who would be a Toe of the Wet Sprocket hardcore fan. Like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
And it's like the band members, like the lead singer is still like handsome. He's a handsome man.
Really?
He looks great. He's thin. He's got feet. He's got 2 feet confirmed. And like his bandmates, like there's one bandmate it's like he's dressed like a Mumford and Son or something. He looks like a pirate from the Black Pearl.
Oh no.
Like it's like it's like this potpourri of people in Toad the Wet Sprocket. I'm like, how are these people together for 30 years? It's truly something to behold.
Wow. They had a song on the So I Married an Ex-Murderer soundtrack, Dale.
Yeah. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, like, they did.
Bullseye.
And I knew that they played it.
And Empire Records.
Yeah. Yeah, see? Soundtrack Kings, Toad the Wet Sprocket. Nuts. That was nuts. I've rambled way too long about Toad the Wet Sprocket tonight, and Marcy Playground. Props to Marcy Playground.
Well, you can blame me, or you can just cut it all out. It's fine. Walk on the ocean. I think I like
step on the stone.
Like my very early 90s when they first hit. I think I in my head I like filed them under like The Cure and Depeche Mode. Like those three before I was musically intelligent enough to understand the difference.
Yes.
My young brain kind of filed them in the same, like they could have been the same band for all I knew.
I could see that. Yeah.
Before I like, you know, really got into The Cure much later. But yeah, I don't know. But maybe that's why. Maybe that's just like that 1989 sound that all those people in that audience, mm-hmm. you know, they were they're freshmen in college and that was it, man. That was the end all be all. This is the feeling of my youth. You know, that's probably what was happening.
I am telling you. Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. But just like, you know, even their recent stuff, they have like recent albums and these people were.
They were singing?
It wasn't just the singles. It wasn't just the singles, Chuck. It was every song. Wow. They were singing. They were making out. It was crazy.
Maybe we need to.
This theater had $5 beer, which was really, really good. $5 beer. What's
that? Wow. Is it?
Yeah.
That's strange. That's very strange. But maybe I need to listen to a Toad the Wet Sprocket out. I've never done that. So
maybe.
Maybe there's something.
But it's, I'm going to be, I mean, I like, I don't, I
take, the most, take them down.
I don't know. Dale. It just
take
seems
them
like
down.
If you heard one song, you heard them all. It's there, just there like it doesn't. It doesn't penetrate a deeper,
mm-hmm.
and maybe it's the guy's voice. Maybe it's just every song sounds the same. I don't know, but yeah.
I want to hear them.
They're no Marcy Playground.
They were on the Kiss My Ass classic Kiss Regrooved tribute album. They played Rock and Roll All Night. I got to hear that.
Oh my gosh. You're going to listen. That might be the first Toad song you've listened to in years.
Yeah. Yeah. Since 1991.
But you're going to make a point to listen to it.
Maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe. If I keep this Wikipedia page open long enough, I will. But Dale,
right.
I love you, but I'm sick of this conversation. Let's get into... Let's... Sorry.
Respect.
Is that too rude?
Respect.
No, I'm...
No.
I was just trying to think of a good segue.
No, you Chuck. That's the real Chuck. It was the real Chuck.
Look. Look.
No, I love you. No, I love you. It's fine. It was a great segue. I'm going to edit this part out.
let's. It's Hot Ape Summer. Everyone as they keep taking off their headphones, looking around them, like when is this fucking ape shit going
to
start?
I know. I'm going to have to keep. I'm going to have to cut this intro down because this is what they're here for.
They're tapping their Rolexes. You know,
Chuck. What's Link?
Link is an ape.
What's Link?
That is a butler, Dale. He's a butler at a large estate by the sea in England. and he works for kind of a rumpled, gruff professor played by Terrence Stamp, who studies, his life's work is studying the chimps. I don't know exact the apes, the ape kind, monkey kind. I don't know exactly what his whole thesis was. It didn't really paint a clear picture of what his goal was by studying these apes, other than I think he just liked to be around them. Even though he seemed eternally annoyed by their presence, I think he just wanted to live with them. I think that was the deeper thing inside this character that they never shared with us in the movie. Anyway, he hires on young Elizabeth Shue, a student who admires the professor, wants to be around him. And so she goes up for spring break time or something from college to go live in his giant house with his apes and make tea and frozen dinners for the professor and hang out with monkeys. And the director on set was turning the screw to turn the to hype up the monkey violence, this guy didn't know how to hold a screwdriver. It just kept falling out of his hand. And he was trying. It was getting there. It was turning slowly. And last 10 minutes we get there. But it's a long, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't watch this, it is, much to my chagrin, it's an hour and 45 minutes. All right. This movie. And sorry, this is a long description of this movie. Anyway,
you're just rolling right into it.
It's apes
right
and people living together, Dale. That's what this movie is. And Link, our butler, he's been in captivity too long. We'll just say that. He's sick of it. All right.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm done. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's it.
There you go. Enough said. Let your mind wander.
Hit me.
Yeah. What do you think? Well, I mean, what do you think? What do you think? Like what? I don't know. Ape Man. They played Ape Man. The first 2 minutes of the movie. I thought we were in.
I sat up in my chair.
Gotta love it.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
You know, that's kind of a deep cut, you know, for the Kinks heads. That's not a song. You know, your average person on the street, they hear that. They probably never heard that song. So that was cool.
Right.
That was cool.
Oh.
But how are you feeling? Dale? I want to know.
You know, I've listened to your gut check reaction while you were talking about the synopsis. I read a lot of the Bat and Spider reactions to the watch along. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's all true. It's okay. I don't know what I'd say. Fuck, Dale. The movie is an hour and 45 minutes long. And like 13 minutes were deleted. 13 minutes were cut out of this sucker.
Wow.
And this movie is just far too long to try to invoke. It's constantly trying to invoke this uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
By the camera lingering on Link. Mm-hmm. But also, I'm gonna say I really dug Jerry Goldsmith's score, but it really clashes. Like to this it adds to this threatening nature of the movie. But it's like circus music. It's crazy. It's out of left field, I think, for the tone of the movie that they're trying to go for.
I think it undercut. I liked the score, but I think it totally undercut any like premonitions or like foreshadowing they were trying to lay early on in the movie. Like, oh, you know, keep your eye on these apes. You know, These are not friendly, yeah, cuddly little guys. But this music, it was like a toddler playing with an old-timey music box. And yeah, it would just randomly, yeah, play. And it's just like, this is not, it's not, it's not, not gelling with what I'm seeing.
Right.
And also, it's also been driving me crazy all day trying to figure out, because I think Jerry Goldsmith reused this for another soundtrack.
Whoa.
Because it, and the first one that popped into my head was the Dennis the Menace movie. And I was proud to see that he, yes, he did score the Dennis the Menace movie. And he also scored Gremlins to the New Batch. And I'm willing to bet my skin that he used some of the same phrasing in one of those soundtracks as he did in Link.
Whoa.
Because it sounded very, wow, familiar to me when I heard it.
You just blew me apart.
Yeah. So, Jerry Goldsmith, I got you. It's hard for us because it, this is the hardest type of movie for us to do because we tend to find something to love in the garbiest of garbage. This, yeah, one was, it was tough. It was really tough because it was just, it was really rote. It didn't, I love Terrence Stamp and I couldn't even him. I mean, it doesn't help. He's gone in like the first 25 minutes he's got out of the movie. Cause he was interesting to watch. He's always interesting to watch. I think I would have enjoyed watching him go toe to toe with the monkeys. Yeah. Like watch him lose his mind, right, or something, you know, and the monkeys keep,
yeah,
pushing him.
Because when you see Terrence, when Elizabeth sees Terrence in the house, you know, speaking in front of Link and stuff, you can tell there's like baggage in Terrence's voice and behind his eyes. Like he knows there's something afoot that you don't, yeah, know as the audience member yet. And it's a shame that he's gone far too soon. As it turns out, you know, Link killed him and did some, you know, pretty funny things with his body to throw him in a well, but and Link killed Voodoo.
Yeah.
And but what's left is like an hour or more of Elizabeth Shue carrying this movie with I mean, they must have gotten so much ape footage to find 45 minutes worth of ape footage to put in this movie.
Yeah.
Like imagine the working conditions that Elizabeth Shue or like the animal wranglers had to, like they must have worked days and days and days to try and get some usable footage. I'm sorry, but
yeah.
Like and it's cool that they used all real apes and nobody in a suit, you know, then it would have been like Trading Places. But
I got to say I think I saw a few shots there was of like a child in an ape suit. I'm almost positive. There's a few shots where the camera's far away and you're looking, the face is completely different. Like it looks like a mask on somebody.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Go back.
No.
But Dale, this is blowing my mind. I'm reading this. They cast an orangutan to play a chimp.
Yes. Why?
I don't know.
Because it was a study about chimps? Because it was a chimp study?
They dyed his fur.
Why couldn't it just be an ape study?
They dyed his fur and put prosthetic ears on him.
I know. It's
like, were they just in love with his eyes? The performance they got in his eyes?
Dude, maybe? Right? How haunting was looking into this ape? Is an orangutan an ape too?
It's the same look.
Can I say ape?
Like everybody knows we share an efficiency apartment together. That's no secret. It's the same, the look that Link gave Elizabeth Shue when she was trying to take a bath is the same look you give me when I'm trying to take a bath.
Right.
Because it's just our bed and our bathtub are right next to each other. So there's no other place for you. I get, yeah, it. You, right, you have nowhere to go. And
you asked me to just turn over.
Yeah.
Just for a minute.
But I see your eyes linger. I see it. I don't say anything, but I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly what Link did here. Did you see that? Did you see that?
Well, that we even...
Orangutan's eyes, Dale, lingering over Elizabeth's shoe.
His eyes were like... the upper half of his face was like Abe Vigoda's face.
Like, yeah, and he looked like he was balding. I couldn't... Too.
Yeah. Like, he had like this facial... his face was a character in itself. Yeah. Like, whether he could help it or not, he was like Abe Vigoda or George Burns. Like, he had these facial expressions with these eyes. Like, it was almost like comedic.
Yeah.
It was very comedic in all of his shots. And it's like, how can you pull out... Like, is that what's so weird and threatening about it? Because he looks like an old man who's lighting a cigar, but he's really he's a killer chimp.
Yeah.
Like, it's unsettling, but it's unsettling, not in a threatening thriller movie kind of way.
Yeah. I got to wonder if I was actually excited to watch this a little bit, because recently my better half, Melissa, she has discovered in herself that she has a little bit of a phobia around our ape cousins, shall we say.
Mm.
Like, she'll be watching TikTok and come across a, you know, a chimp video, and she's just like, I'm not comfortable. Like, and I get it, like, because it is sort of like they're very human like, but you know, we've all read the stories about these guys ripping humans' faces off, you know, out of nowhere.
Yes.
And there's just something unsettling about something that's so close to human, but not. It's like you think you recognize something in their face, you know, emotion in their face, but it's also like, maybe I have no idea what they're thinking at all. Maybe they're all psychopaths. I don't know. And, but so I understand that. And I wonder if that was like that sort of phobia. It was like the thinking behind this. Because for me, I don't really have that. And I'm looking at Link and I'm just like, he's just a goofy looking guy in a tuxedo running around a house. And the things he's doing they're not very menacing to me. Like, even when he was like hurting people, he like, you know, he was just a nice monkey acting. They didn't get, you know, like, you've seen like videos of apes like losing their minds and like bouncing off the walls, tearing shit up. Like, there was never really any of that happening. So it all just seemed like we were watching like a, you know, an animal that wasn't really into it. You know, he could do the direction, you know, do the moves, but it wasn't like, I don't know, it wasn't menacing enough.
And I think you're right. And I'm with Melissa, man. I think it's, I couldn't help but keep thinking about like Imp, this whole movie.
Yeah.
Imp was like the loose cannon.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Imp was the young chimp who was like the baby and was the one that didn't seem scary at all. That they didn't paint as like a loose cannon at all. But
you're right. Yeah. But also there is physical evidence that he has definitely murdered more lives, like taken more lives in the animal kingdom than Link.
Yeah.
Link, I'm entranced by the character of Link because I just can't wrap my head around the dichotomy of what you see on the screen versus what he's capable of, air quotes, shoving a man down, like shoving a man down the well, or shoving a Voodoo the ape, the chimp, into the cabinet there. Because you can stare at this like old man face long enough, and like the comical features kind of start twisting on itself. But I don't know if that's what they were trying to go for in this movie, or I'm just trying to turn that into a menacing face because he's the bad guy of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. There is that one scene where Link kills the fake dog and breaks its neck against the fence post. And that was, I think I laughed out loud. That was pretty fun.
That was the only time I suspected a human in a monkey suit. The overhead shot.
Of him
like swinging. Yeah, man, that was.
Yeah.
But even like Imp and Link together, like they were so adorable.
I know.
Imp was so cute.
Yeah.
There's a shot where Imp is like standing at Link's like 4 o'clock. He's like right kind of aside him, but behind him. And Imp like stood straight up and he smiled real big next to Link. And it was like right before Imp started like trying to tell Elizabeth Shue that Link is a loose cannon and Link murdered everybody and we need to kill him. You know, but it was adorable. Like the shot was adorable.
Yeah, I know. It's that. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's probably hard. It's especially, you know, that's probably why, like, you know, they would make movies with people in suits because it was like easier to get at least like more physical menacing performances out. But yeah, I mean, it must be really hard to do this with real animals, like. Because it's like, how are you going to tell an ape to look sad or, you know,
have
some sort of pathos, you know, in his eye? Like, it's just like, that's a tough job. Yeah, and I don't know. There is a disparity. I think what, you know, Grugarok said, it's just like, it just feels like the ingredients didn't meet up for whatever.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason. I don't know. Cause cause there are things in this, like the scene when Elizabeth Shue first gets to the house and Link answers the door and you just see him in shadow. I loved that shot. Cause it's like the scariest shot in the movie, I think. Cause it's clearly not a man, but his face is so dark that like, you're like, whoa, like what? It's a pretty otherworldly shot. And then the idea of him silently leading Elizabeth Shue, like showing her around the house and then showing her to her bedroom, like that could have been played way more unsettling, I think, than the way they did it. It was almost too like just like a matter of fact, but I feel like they could have let those scenes linger and have a silence that would have made them more uncomfortable, like Elizabeth Shue just staring at this ape wearing a butler outfit, you know, showing her around. Yes. It's a weird thing, but I don't know, the way it played, it just felt like I was watching like a Disney movie about a happy ape, you know, who's a butler.
And I think they tried to like instill some backstory with the circus posters of Link from 40 years ago, where he was like the fire breather, the fire monster ape. And I think, you know, like Terrence Stamp making that deal with the other guy that, you know, he's like, the other guy was supposed to come pick up Voodoo and kill Link. So Terrence Stamp knew something was afoot, but also he's the only one over the course of a pretty heavy phone call, I guess. He's like talking in front of Link, but he's like, you know, you're going to take care of the old guy, take care of the old man too, you know, which means that, you know, he didn't want to say murder Link in front of Link himself, but, you know, but couple that with like Jerry Goldsmith's circus score and you almost do get like Disney.
Yeah.
It's like you almost get Disney movie vibes from this movie. It's, but also that, you know, there's this like, there's also, I just can't nail down Link because there's also like this obtuseness because if Elizabeth Shue would ask him to do something or tell him to do something, he would sit and linger another 6 seconds before he did it. Like just kind of like, like as a power play or something, like I'm going to go do it, but I'm going to sit here and like stare at your naked boobs for 6 more seconds and then I'm going to walk away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not because you told me to, but because I got something else cooking. You know, I got to go light a cigar. And like, how about this orangutan trained to smoke cigars? Like, how heartbreaking was that?
I know.
Like, how funny would this act have been 50 years ago? Yeah. Like, the John and Jane, like common man,
you could
go into the carnival barker so you could see a smoking.
Exactly. Ink. Yeah, you could picture Link on like the Ed Sullivan show and just like an audience of people losing it because this monkey is lighting a cigar.
Like filling his lungs with tar and nicotine.
And also some of the violence left, like there's one part Link pulls that man through the mail slot in the door.
It's like a
case where they're trying to leave it up to the viewer's mind to like fill in the horror. Cause like later you see him pull the arm through and and you're like, oh, that's going to suck. And then later you see the door and there's a bigger hole that looks like he pulled the whole man through it in it. You know, there's just jagged wood there. You don't see it. It's just where the mail slot was. And part of it was like, I kind of wished I'd seen a little more of that, you know, that would have been.
Yeah. Yes.
I think the horror would have been amped up. Cause like Link doesn't really, we don't really see him get going until like the very end when it's Elizabeth Shue, her boyfriend with a broken leg, being chased around the house by Link. And that's like, it's like finally, you know, hour and 40 minutes in, like Link is finally scary, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. What are you going to say? What are you going to do? Link. They blew it.
they kind of blew it. It was scary, but also it was trying its hardest to not be scary, but I was being thrilled. It was a bit of a thriller, but by hour 10, like there's by the end, I think there was still like 12 minutes left in the movie, but they decide they're going to sneak into the crawl space and pump the house full of gas. And there's like a 15 second shot of the camera on like the gas meter. And then it follows the gas pipe up all the way to, it's like, how can this movie get longer?
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of that. It's like, visually over explaining stuff to us. Like, I know what's happening.
Right. Yeah.
For crying out loud. Yeah. Just light the cigar. Blow it up. And then he didn't even blow up. It just like made a fireball. But he's still running around the house as it's burning down. Come on.
I rewound that part.
Yeah.
Because I really wanted to see like juxtaposed fire on a regular house. But I think that orangutan was in the same room as a fireball.
Oh, yeah.
And it made me upset.
Yeah.
It made me upset.
Yeah. When at the end, when they're driving away from the house and it's just in smoldering ruins, I think that was a beautiful matte. I think it was a matte painting and it was beautiful. Loved it.
Yeah.
Wanted it as a screenshot.
That was nice. That was beautiful.
For a screen, my desktop. That would be nice.
Yeah.
We get a little zinger because Elizabeth and her boyfriend make it out. And on their way, as they're leaving the ruins, little imp sitting by the side of the road. Poor little imp. And she's like, oh, imp, oh, get in the car. Mm-hmm. Sit in the back seat with my boyfriend who's terrified of monkeys. And she's like, no, he's
officially
fine.
Now,
he's fine.
As of now.
Yeah, he's fine. And they drive away and the camera pans up and we see a field full of dead sheep.
My God. I know. She even says, he's just a baby. He can't hurt anybody. He wouldn't hurt anybody.
Yeah. Just a baby.
A field full of dead sheep. That was pretty menacing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I started thinking about like imp grabbing a hold of one of his cheeks from the side of the mouth and just ripping it off. You know, I was like, now it's going to get real. It's going to get real right now.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't happen. It's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, imp is ready to die for Elizabeth Shue.
There was an idea for a sequel about an anthropologist in Africa who becomes involved in a chimpanzee war.
Yeah.
But we never got that.
The Steven Spielberg was brought up so many times in this Wikipedia page. Like Richard Franklin just kept comparing or going to Steven. It is crazy.
Yeah. It was his Jaws, you know?
It was Jaws with chimps. How about another thing that was scary for all the wrong reasons was Link's gnarled sideways feet.
Oh, yeah. I noticed the way he was running. It was like running on his ankles, kind of. And I was like, what? Is that normal?
Oh, God.
Or is he? Did he suffer? Is that from being caged or what? Like, ugh.
Yeah. Is that 45 years of being an asshole for asshole carnival goers? Like,
yeah.
It was, he was running on his ankles and his feet were all curved inwards. It was fucking disgusting. I'm sorry. It was.
There were a lot of shots also of Link's hands like coming through holes, which was, again, it was like an unsettling image that kept coming up that wasn't part of like what they were trying to make unsettling. Oh, also they kept, there was also a lot of like, people stuck in floors and Link got stuck in the floor too. Wasn't that kind of weird?
Yeah.
That was a really horrifying scene when that guy wakes up, and under the floor and he goes to sit up and he bangs his head on the floorboards. Cause he's in the floor. Did they ever like explain how he got in there? How Link shoved him in there, man. This Link, man, he was a magician.
I mean, and the fact that Link, even Link, it was Link.
Yeah.
Locke, the orangutan playing Link. He was under that floor and there was a camera in there with him. Like he was scuttling along under the floor on his chest, like prone. It was like the stuff that he was doing, I don't know if you would even see in a movie nowadays or maybe before that. I don't know if it probably existed. I mean, who knows what they were doing for fucking monkeys before that.
Yeah, no, I mean, it would be a CGI monkey now doing that kind of thing. You have the disc of this. Did you watch, were there any deleted scenes of anything that were interesting?
So I was going to talk about my way of watching this.
Oh, no.
My disc is unopened here.
Classic.
But I wanted to tell folks, I found this movie for purchase on the Kino Now service.
What?
Like Kino Lorber, KinoNow.com.
Oh, and
I bought it, and you know what, Chuck?
What?
After I bought it, you can download an MP4 copy of this movie it's your copy. You just right click and click save as, and the MP4 is yours. And it's the same like copy. It was gorgeous. It's a gorgeous version.
Do Hollywood executives know that this is happening? Are they allowed to,
That's a great question. I went to the homepage of Kino Now and I've never seen a movie that we watched on Kino Now before.
Yeah.
And like the homepage was full of like some documentaries and movies I'd never heard of.
So it's not,
luckily Link was in there.
It's not like all their stuff. Yeah. It's just some. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Just a select library of what they got going on. Crazy.
Yeah. Much love to Kino. Link, you did your best. And for that.
Did your best for Hot Ape Summer.
A bundle of grapes. How about Terrence Stamp saying Elizabeth Shue's like, what should I feed them? What do they eat? And he's like, oh, they just find stuff to eat. Bugs. Small animals.
Rats. Oh my God.
It's like, excuse me, professor? You're just like starving your animals on this property, like hoping a rat wanders by. That's how you feed them?
Yeah, right.
My God.
And there was he said the line that, imps just trying to get up your skirt. You brought pants, didn't you? I thought we were going to see like ape rape. I thought we were going to get a hard R.
Oh, totally. Yeah, because they kept, and they also said a line about, oh, he's coming into sexual maturity. You know, I'm going to have to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was another hint. I was like, oh God, like what are we in for here?
Yeah, what is about to, like what was cut or what was in the script that they didn't film? It was crazy.
Yeah, it was surprisingly like PG. I mean, I don't know what this was actually rated, but yeah, you could show this to a 10-year-old. It'd be fine. The non-parent in the room is speaking now.
Right. Yeah, right. Night. Right. The parent who saw Elizabeth Shue's nipple in this movie. Ay, ay, ay.
Get out of the bathroom, Link.
There it is.
You creep.
Shut the door behind you, Link, please. Oh, God.
You can't
She's literally trying to reason.
You can't trust the horny 45-year-old Link to leave the bathroom.
Absolutely not.
No. She leaves the door ajar.
Absolutely not.
And then starts to disrobe.
Can you imagine if Link had a voice? What would he be saying? Oh, honey.
Well, yeah, he'd get his cigar out and he'd be like, oh, hello. Hey, honey. You know, ooga.
Yeah. I'd leave my wife for you.
He'd start mimicking dogs panting.
Where were you 25 years ago?
Oh, honey, I've been locked up in this castle a long time. You have no idea what this means to me.
Honey, give me 5 minutes alone.
What I wouldn't do.
Please.
What I wouldn't do.
Jesus. Okay. You are a sight for sore eyes in here.
Wow. Methinks the peaches are ripe. That was the ape talking, ladies and gentlemen.
Right. Right. God. I'm going to go. Unless you want me to stay. No, I'm just kidding. I'll go. I'm going to close the door. And what? I thought maybe you said to come back. I thought maybe you said to just stay here for a second.
You need me to get you a towel or anything,
right,
honey?
I'm going. No, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just messing with you. I'm going.
This could have been half the movie and we would have been clapping, standing on our feet, unlike Link. Yes.
Unlike Link.
Poor guy. Get into that mail sack. We got anything? We got any ape mail?
Let's check it out.
The only way it's going to get to us is if you write on the pencil, you write ape mail, please. Like in the old days, you write air mail.
Yeah.
It. Fly me, baby.
315-544-0966. That's the official Hot Ape Summer hotline. batandspiderpod@gmail.com. That's the official Hot Ape Summer email address. You know what to do. Do.
It is humid, Dale. Is it humid down there? Because it is.
Yes.
It is disgusting. Oh my God. It's not even that hot. It's just the humidity is killing me. It feels like everything in the house is wet. You know?
Yeah. I'm sorry, man. That's not cool.
I appreciate you.
We have one voicemail.
All right.
Going to listen to this voicemail here. Probably ready for a hot ape summer, this person. Mm-hmm.
Toby!
Ooh. That might be a new Toby werewolf.
Yeah, I think it is.
A little deeper. It was like a lower octave than the normal werewolf goes with. Interesting. I have some guesses, but I'll keep the mystique alive.
Have we gotten Tubied from this person before? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think that if I had to guess, that was a new new drop.
Wow, jeez, our reputation grows. You know what it is? It's probably all Tubi marketing people.
Yes. God, I hope so. God, give us
probably at their employee stand-ups every morning. They have like the team leader it reassures everybody that they should come out and give us a call.
It's written on the list of things on the whiteboard to do that morning. It's waiting to be checked off.
Yeah.
Make the intern do it. Should we become Tubi interns? Should we take a like a month's vacation and apply to be Tubi interns?
That would be cool. If we could film it.
Yeah, if we could record every day. Oh my,
or afterwards. At least talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we could at least talk about it audio style.
From the bowels of Tubi.
Yeah. Jeez, that would be amazing.
So that's it.
That would be amazing.
That's it. So our audience doesn't love us. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, in our Discord, Kevin Cablasto did specifically say he had an email that he was sending to us, and lo and behold, it's here we are.
Yeah, here we are. He asked if we were recording tonight. There he is. Mm. Hmm. Interesting.
I'm pretty sure it sounded like it was in the drafts already composed.
That's the way he made it sound. Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's all right. There's always next week.
Dale, let's talk. What's next on the list for those who don't have access to the list because they're not in the Discord? What is the selection for next week?
It's I'm glad you asked, Chuck. Next week for Hot Ape Summer, we are going with a movie called Ape. APE. On Letterboxd, it is A*P*E, also known as Ape 3D in some parts of the world.
God damn it.
Came out in 1976, directed by Paul Leader.
Dale, guess where you can buy this? Kino Now.
Oh my God. It's official sponsor of Hot Ape Summer, Kino Now.
It's also on Plex for free with ads and Canopy if you have that through your local library. Now this one, you got the disc, right? Have you studied the disc?
I got the disc.
Because I tried to order it, didn't happen anyway, whatever. But I wanted to know if it, is it true that you have to have a modern 3D Blu-ray setup to get the Blu-ray?
I'm pretty sure it is. Let me run and get it real quick.
All right.
I'm pretty sure it is. Yes, unfortunately, this was released during a time where that was a thing.
Fuck.
Newly restored by the 3D Film Archive, 3D viewing requires a compatible television and Blu-ray player.
Damn it. Bah. Damn Bollocks. It. I mean, we know it's possible. We know they can order up some cheap red and blue lens glasses and put that extra version on there. There's room. I know there's room for another version.
Because there sure wasn't the modern 3D in 1976.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, come on.
You'll if you don't have that set up at home, you're going to have to use your mind's eye to make it 3D. But gosh, The painted poster of this is is a genius. It's incredible. We got the APE logo in brown fur. Okay. We got a giant ape. Looks like he's like, he's standing on looks like the Titanic, if I'm going to be honest, destroying the Titanic with his feet. In his left hand, he's got a giant coiled up, snake with its fangs out. And his right hand, he's killing Jaws, squeezing Jaws by the gullet. So big shot across the bow. Oh, I guess Jaws. Yeah, no, this is a year after Jaws. So yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, APE.
Oh yeah,
by Paul Leader. A newly discovered 30-foot gorilla escapes from a freighter off the coast of Korea. At the same time, an American actress is filming a movie in the country. Chaos ensues as the ape kidnaps her and rampages through Seoul.
Mm.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait to figure out.
That's next week.
Why it's A, whatever that thing is, P, whatever that thing is, E.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Trying to figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go.
Yeah.
Tonight's guest artwork provided by Mikey P.
Oh, yeah.
We, We love Mikey P.
Shining star. Yeah, as just like last Hot Ape Summer, Dale scours his little black book for people who can draw.
Yeah.
To do the show art. Gives me a break. You know, it's my vacation, you know. I don't have to sweat it out for a month. It's great. It's fantastic. So bless you. Bless you, Mikey P, for stepping in.
Thank you, Mikey P. You're the best around. We love you, buddy. It means a lot. So next week, Ape 3D.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
For Hot Ape Summer.
Yeah.
This is a good first episode, right, Chuck? We didn't foul it up too much.
There's something in there.
Yes.
All I want is to be this way. All right, should we stop?
Now, yeah. Stopping. I'm hitting stop.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.